We're going to start this hour with sports, though. We're joined on the phone by Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School professor and longtime sports commentator. And she's joining us on the air today to talk about a shoplifting arrest. I don't know if you heard about this, if you're listening. Three UCLA freshmen with the college basketball season just about to get underway. Three freshman basketball players at UCLA were arrested for shoplifting in China, including LiAngelo Ball, who is Lonzo Ball's brother. So that's making the news for a little bit of extra reason just for that reason. Dr. Stroman joins us on the phone. How are you, and what do you make of this news from China?
Well, I'm doing great after a very, very wonderful election cycle campaign for Barbara Fushi, who is a sorority sister of mine. So I was out celebrating with her last night. But there's no doubt when you have these type of what were you thinking type stories in sport, it brings many people to a pause. But LeVar Ball, who has been, some people would argue, the loudmouth of college recruiting and promotion of your children over the past basketball season, his son, Lonzo, who is a number two draft pick for the Lakers, he signed a four-year, $33 million contract in July. As Magic Johnson stated, he's the new face of the Lakers, and his younger brother being accused of shoplifting a pair of Louis Vuitton sunglasses with two other teammates while in China. And so if you just say on the surface, okay, young people doing something dumb, but it makes you start thinking about integrity and character when the father, LeVar Ball, is quoted as saying it's not a big deal. It makes you start thinking about college administrators and coaches and how they're being asked to they're being asked, but also they've selected this profession to recruit young people who might not have certain values that match your program. And then they're in your program. And how do you manage that as an administrator? It's not just that young person, but you have their entire family and their values as well. So there's a lot more to this story, and not even to mention Chinese law, where you think you're going over for an educational and cultural experience, and now you're having to deal with politics, economics, and social mores. As for right now, the young men, the three men accused, they have to stay in their hotel until all the legalities are over, and that could be days, weeks, or months.
You mentioned in there the commonality of those sort of what were you thinking moments that we have with athletes, especially sort of high profile athletes that are really big in the public eye. You also see that a lot with celebrities. And I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about the prevalence of that, because on the one hand, you know, the sort of easy explanation is, well, celebrities, athletes, anyone who's big in the public eye is surrounded by people who are always saying yes and enabling them to do whatever they want to do. And then it leads to situations like that. So I think that, and then at the same time, I think, well, we kind of all have those moments in all of our lives, maybe not shoplifting necessarily, yeah, but those sort of moments where someone might look at us and go, what were you thinking? And the advantage that we as ordinary people have over celebrities and star athletes is we don't have cameras following us all over the place, and we don't have people monitoring us all the time for news purposes. So is it that there is a difference with celebrities and athletes, or is it just that it seems that way because that's how it's covered in the media?
Well, I think as to your point, the exposure, the being in the limelight at all times, that can change your behavior. Mm-hmm. Just think, Aaron, if 24/7, wherever we went, there was a person or a group of people following us in every way. So that would make us act differently. Everything from what we would wear to how we would try to cover ourselves up. We see many celebrities, entertainers wearing hoodies and things, wearing big clothes. Your voice, your tone always has to be, you know, like perfect. Not to mention your language, what you say, how you say it. And then when you add that to a 17 or 22-year-old young person, you know, you start questioning, are we spoiling them? Do we give them too much exposure? Why are we even going to China? So cultural and educational experience is one thing, but to add that to a high-profile athlete, maybe they need to have that cultural and educational experience of China in Los Angeles. Certainly there are many Chinese Americans and people visiting from China where we can get some of these wonderful experiences without having to travel thousands upon thousands of miles, and added on that spotlight of being ready for a big basketball game that's going to be broadcast around the world. Is that too much exposure? Is that too much spoiling of the athlete? And then when you think about if you're going to do this, what type of staff is necessary to make sure that they aren't getting in trouble, or they're making sure that everything that they do, they're getting permission before they do it. So that means additional funding, more budgeting to make sure that their group travel has every person in place to guard against things like this. I'm wondering right now what type of meetings, what type of, I guess you could say, debriefing of what happened when these young men went into these stores. Where was that assistant coach? Where was the manager? Why weren't you watching them? How did this all play out without an adult there to say, don't even think it? Don't, even if it's on your mind, it's not the right thing to do. So there's really a lot here.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, and are talking about this, and it sounds like the resolution to this is something a lot more systemic and multifaceted. So what's the first step in terms of getting there?
Well, I think, sadly, that this is now ramped up from your local program and the head coaches to the athletic director, and now we even heard from Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12. And, of course, I'm sure someone in the NCAA office. So it's really hit every aspect of NCAA Division I basketball. People are talking, and I'm sure the other sports now are looking as well. The other side is they are students. So what is happening on the other side from the dean of students' office? Will this be an honor violation for UCLA? Is this something where they might be perceived as receiving favor if they're not disciplined in a very, very, I guess you could say, what's appropriate for this act if they're found guilty? But, you know, I always go back to education. You also have to go back to behavior when you're representing your university in another location, whether that's right outside of campus or, again, thousands of miles away. So there's a lot of education to be done around this in terms of lessons learned. How can we be better? How can we better prepare our students? But then also thinking about what will happen in terms of the legal process with these young men. It's not as simple as what LeVar Ball says. It's not a big deal. I think there's a lot for everyone to learn in terms of how we treat and how we monitor and expose our young people who are in these high-profile athletic positions.
I'm going to have to leave it there, but Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.